Morning, everybody. Turn this on so you can hear me better. If you have your Bibles, which hopefully you do because we are in Sunday school, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Starting in verse 9. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to preach your word. Lord, I just pray that you'll fill me with your words today, Lord. I pray that the words that you'd have me to say will come out of my mouth, Lord, that your words are powerful words, Lord, not mine. I just pray that you'll speak through me today, Lord, and you'll speak to the people, Lord. Open up their ears and their hearts for what they're going to hear. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The title of the message is, "What Are You?" Some of us were those people. If you look at that list of people, some of us were them. And I am included in that. I was some of those things on that list was me. But thank God for verse 11. And it says, "And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." When you get saved, you automatically become one. You are no longer you. I was one of those, and I got saved as a young kid, about 9, 10 years old. I don't remember the exact age. I do remember where I was when I got saved. I was at Moonglow Skating Rink, and I got saved during, we were skating around, and I got saved during an invitation. Like I said, I don't remember the exact date, but I do remember where I was. And I was probably 9 or 10 years old, and then I never went to church. But at the time that I got saved, when you get saved, God washes you. He washes your sins away through the blood of Jesus Christ. So in that verse, it says that you are washed. You're washed by the blood of Christ. Your sins are washed away. Then it says that you are sanctified. Sanctified means you're set apart. Christ took me as a child that was unrighteous, and he set me apart because when I got saved, I got Christ's righteousness in me. He set me over here. I am no longer over there, because when God looks down on this earth, he sees righteous and unrighteous, lost and saved. That's what he sees. And I tell kids, younger kids, when they get saved, I said, when God looked down at you before, he saw a sinner. When you get saved, now when God looks down at you, he sees Jesus Christ. You're no longer a sinner. And that's what he does when he sets you apart. He set me apart that day. He justified me through Christ justified me through his blood, and I became righteous because of him, not because of me. We're not righteous because of ourselves. But I didn't know anything about church. I didn't know all those things. And I went into a life of sin, kind of like Brother Dave's story, until I started going to church. I was unrighteous. Christ made me righteous, but then I still became some of those things on that list. And I'm not going to tell you which things I became. You can guess, but I did things that I should not do. I was washed by the blood of Christ. Spiritually speaking, when you get saved, you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified, you are all those things. But I want to talk to you about the things, spiritual things and fleshly things. Humanly speaking, I wasn't washed. Humanly speaking, you don't get washed and you don't get set apart until you do certain things. Now the Bible, my question for you is, what are you? Are you washed? And you say, well, yeah, I'm washed. You just said I got washed by the blood of Christ. Yes, but are you clean down here on earth? And you say, well, how do you get clean? Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, 25. The Bible says, "Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." You get washed by God's word. God's word is what cleans you up. The Bible said you're washed by the water of the word. I did not go to church after I got saved. I didn't start going to church until I was about 28 years old. I lived a life of sin. Although God saw me sinless because of the blood of Christ, I lived a life of sin. I became some of those things on that list. And then when I started going to church, God's word started cleaning me up. God's word started washing me, and then I became clean down here. And I'm not saying that I'm totally clean. I'm spick and span, because I'm not. We can't be totally clean, but we can be as clean as... It's kind of like when you send a kid, when we get saved, we're clean. God wants us to get cleaned up down here, though. He wants us. That's why we need to come to church. That's why we need to read His Bible. You need to come to church so you can get cleaned by His word, not by my words, not by preacher's words or Pastor Dave's words, but by God's words. God's words clean you up, either whether you're reading them or they're being preached to you. It's kind of like when you tell a kid, "Hey, go get cleaned up," and they get in the shower, but they don't turn on the water. They get back out of the shower and they say, "Well, I got in the shower." It's like, "Yeah, but you forgot to use water and soap. You're really not clean." So somebody gets saved and they're clean in God's eyes, but they're really not clean down here. We're not clean until we get God's word inside of us. God's word cleans us up, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. When you get His word inside of you, you realize those things that you're doing that you should not do. Those things that the life that you're leading, you shouldn't be leading that kind of a life, because that goes against God's word. God wants us all to be clean. So I'm asking you, are you washed today? You say, "Well, yeah, I'm washed. I took a shower this morning." But are you washed in God's word? And do you, it's a personal question, do you bathe every day? Do you, humanly speaking, we should bathe every day. Teenagers, you should bathe every day. Because if you don't, you smell. You get stinky. Spiritually speaking, that's the way we get too. When we don't bathe ourselves every day in God's word, when we don't clean ourselves up every day, we start to smell. We start to get stinky. We start to get that dirt and that filth of the world back on us. And we need to get in God's word. Just like you need to shower every day to keep yourself clean and not smelly, you need to get in God's word and keep yourself clean every single day. And I've been asking the teenagers lately, how many of you have read your Bible and prayed every day? And sad to say, a lot of the teenagers can't raise their hands. But if I would ask you here, adults today, how many of you have prayed, earnestly prayed, not just prayed for your food, but earnestly prayed every single day and read your Bible, how many of us couldn't raise our hand? It's not just the teenagers. And I told the teenagers, if you have Christians in general, we don't do that. We don't read God. We don't clean ourselves up. The auditorium should be full today of people wanting to get clean from being out in the world all week. So a lot of people don't. They only come to church one Sunday. They don't come on Wednesdays. So you're out all week and you're pretty dirty. You got to come to church to get clean, because kind of like when you tell your kids. When my kids were little, I used to have to bathe them, me and my wife, because they didn't really know how. And you have to teach them how to clean themselves up. You have to scrub them. You have to make sure that they're clean, because they don't do a good job on their own. They'll get in a shower and they'll run the water. They'll get some shampoo. Okay, they're done. Two minutes and they're back out. That's the way we are with God's word. We have 2 minutes a day, man. I got to hurry up and read. Whew, okay, I read for the day. How clean are you going to get only being in the water for a couple minutes? You're not going to get that clean. We need to submerge ourselves in God's word. So my first question is, are you washed? Yeah, spiritually we're washed because of the blood of Christ, but are you washed down here on earth in the water of the word? Secondly, are you sanctified? Sanctified means we're set apart. When we get saved, God sets us apart. Now we're righteous in His eyes. We're no longer unrighteous. He sets us over here. He says, now you're over here, you're righteous. Not because you, but because of Christ. But now down here on earth, what are we set apart? Have we set ourselves apart? God set us apart, but have we set ourselves apart from the world, from the lost people, from the sinners, from what you used to be? Have you set yourself apart? If you look at 2 Corinthians 6:17, and it's a familiar verse. 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Have you put away the old things? Have you put away the person that you used to be? I've tried to put away all of those things that I used to be before I got clean, before I got washed. And you can't put those things away until you get washed. I didn't put those things away when I was younger because I didn't know. I was set apart in God's eyes. I was sanctified. But I wasn't sanctified down here because I didn't know anything about that. Because I didn't get the water. I didn't get the word. I didn't get cleaned up. Once I got cleaned up, I started putting those things away. And to this day, I am still putting things away. The things that I don't do according to God's word. The thing about God's word, I've been going to church for almost 20 years now. I'm still getting clean. Because I'm still finding I got in the shower and I'll admit, I'll get in the shower sometimes and I have drywall mud all over me from doing texturing or whatever. And I'll get in the shower and I'll wash, you know, and I'll get out. And I'll go like this to brush my hair and I look and I have drywall mud still on my arm. Like, how did I miss that? It's the same thing with God's word. We get in God's word and we think we're all cleaned up. And then we look ourselves in the mirror and you're like, man, I still got a lot of dirt on me. Because you read God's word and God exposes the dirt that you have. He tells you the things that you're doing wrong. And then you realize, you know what? I got to clean that part of my life up. And God's word does that until the time that you either are taken up in the rapture or that God takes you home from this earth and you die. We're gonna be dirty from now until then. And we need to keep getting clean. We need to keep looking for dirt on ourselves. God will show you. Just like when you look in the mirror after you take a shower and you find, I find dirt on me. Then I wash it off. Because sometimes we miss, we think that we're okay, that we're all clean, but sometimes we miss little things in the Bible and God will expose that to you and say, you know what, you're not doing this right. And then we need to say, okay, well, I'm going to clean that up. So are you sanctified yourself? Have you set yourself apart from the world? 2 Corinthians also says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I'm sorry, I just read that. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. Have you come out from among the world? Have you come out from among the people that you used to hang around with when you were in sin? I know preacher talks about when he used to be in the bars. And then once he got saved, he stopped going to the bars. He separated himself. He sanctified himself. He came out from among them. And I did that when I was in my sin, although I was saved, I was doing those things I should not do. When I started going to church, realizing that God was cleaning me up, he said, you know what? You need to get away from that dirt. You need to get away from those people that are dirty and filthy. And I'm not saying anything bad about them, but they were dirty and filthy just like me. But I got God's word started washing me and getting me clean, so I stopped hanging around those people. I said, you know what? We can't do those things anymore. I can't be around that. And the friends that you think you have, and pay attention, teenagers, the friends that you think you have, that you're doing things with, and you adults listen too, the things that you're doing those things with those people, those are my friends. How am I supposed to leave them? You leave those people and you follow God, and then you see how many of those people are still your friends. See how many of those people still keep in contact with you after you start trying to live a godly life. Start separating yourself from them, and you pull away, and you say, you know what? I can't do those things anymore. I can't go to your parties, but you can come to my house and we can have coffee and we can have fellowship. None of those people will come. If they're your true friends, they will come, but you know what? I found out those people aren't really your friends. Those are just people that you're doing things with. We like to think that we have a lot of friends. That, you know, I'm so popular, man, I have, especially now with Facebook and all that, I got 6 million friends. No, you really don't. You have 6 million people you might talk to, that you might tell them what you're doing in your life, that, which I think is really silly. Today I brushed my teeth. I went to the car. I went to the bathroom. It always cracked me up when people are telling you what they, I don't really care what you're doing. But I told my friends, we can't do this anymore. Do you know how many people I stayed in contact with that group of people? Zero. I stayed in contact with none of those people. Because once you stop doing the things that you're doing, once you stop doing those sins with them, they don't want anything to do with you. And you say, well, I thought they were my friends. That's the thing. We think they are, but they're really not. They really don't care for you personally. They just cared about having fun with you. So don't feel bad when someone tells you, and I tell people this, the first thing that you have to do is you have to separate yourself from them and you have to leave. And they say, well, those are my friends. How do I leave them? And I tell them, if they're really your friends, they'll understand that you got to stop doing those. You want to stop doing those things so you can't be around them if they're doing them. And if they're really your friend, they'll say, okay, well, we'll not do those things. We'll do something else. So have you separated yourself from that? Have you come out from among them? And then the one that everyone hates when you read, 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because we love this world so much. You say, well, God loved the world. It says so in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. God loved the world because of sinners. God loved all the people. But God doesn't love the things of the world, because the things of the world are not of God. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, those are of the world. Do you know who the king of the world is? Does anybody know, teenagers? The devil. He's the king of this world. And I can't explain why, but God lets the devil rule this earth. This is his kingdom. He tried to tell Christ, if you serve me, I'll give you all of this. It was Christ's anyways. But they're letting him just run it for now. So the world belongs to the devil. So when you love the things of the world, when you love all these things that happen down here, you're loving the things of the devil. Just to let you all know that. Teenagers. Adults. Because adults love the world just as much as teenagers. And I always say, adults are just older teenagers. Really, we're all the same. They're just younger than we are. But we all still have those same affections and those same lusts. And as kids, I try to preach to them, don't love the world, don't love the things of the world, don't love the world's music, the world's shows, everything about the world. Worldly things are not good for you as a Christian. But as adults, we do the same thing. But we think that we're okay because we can handle those things. I can handle listening to country music. I've been going to church long enough. That country music doesn't affect my life. That a little bit of rock and roll music every now and again is not going to hurt me because I'm a mature Christian. But it does hurt you spiritually. Whether you want to admit it or not, it does. Because the things that they're talking about are not godly things. And a man preached the other day, we went to a youth rally. He said, don't judge the things you do by its wickedness. Judge the thing you do by its godliness. Don't judge it the other way. Don't say, well, it's really not that bad. Because as adults, we think, well, I came out of all that stuff, so what I'm doing now isn't near as bad as what that was. So I'm okay. No, you're not okay. You should judge it by, is it godly? Is it righteous? Is it what God wants me to do? Not, it's better than what I did. Because if we're just better than what I did, I could do a lot of bad things because of what I used to do.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm not going to tell you what I used to do, but I used to do a lot of stuff that I'm ashamed of. And I'll get to that later. But we have to, and if you read God's word and you look at those verses and you say, well, that's kind of like when how many of you ever tried to give a dog a bath? I used to have to try to get my dog a bath, and you pick it up and it's going, not getting through, doesn't want to go through the door because it knows you're taking it to the bath to get it in the bathtub. Then you try to put it in the bathtub and it's going crazy. That's what we are with God's word. We read a verse and I don't want to hear that verse. I don't want to separate myself from the world. I don't want to separate myself from my friends. We fight because we don't want to get cleaned up, just like that dog. But the dog's happy. You ever notice what after you get the dog all cleaned up, they're all happy. They're running around, going crazy, and they're all excited. Man, I am clean. But they'll fight it. They'll fight it tooth and nail until you get them cleaned up, and then they're excited and they're happy. They're clean. That's the way we are as Christians. We'll fight it, but then once we get clean, we're happy. I like to do analogies that are very simple and common because it relates to me that when you look at the Bible, don't read it like it's something that you can't understand. Put it in ways that you can understand it, just like a kid getting clean or a dog getting clean. That's the way our life is. Are you washed? Are you sanctified? Third, are you living a righteous life? You say, well, nobody can live a righteous life. You're right. Nobody can live a righteous life. But Christ imputed his righteousness on us. He gave us his righteousness. He expects us to try to live a righteous life. We go through this world say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And yes, you are. And yes, I am. But we use that as an excuse to keep sinning. Well, I'm just a sinner. It's got to be expected. Can't blame me for that. It's my sin nature. I'm just a sinner, so I'm going to sin. Yeah, you are going to sin, but you're to try not to sin. Pastor Dave preached a couple Sundays ago about justification. We are justified just as though we've never sinned. Your sins are forgiven. They're all under the blood, your past sins, your present sins. So now we say, you know what? My present sins are under the blood, so I'm just going to go ahead and sin. It's already covered. Christ is not going to change his mind. God's not going to look down at me now and say, well, now you're a sinner because you sinned. No, it's always going to be you're sinless in his eyes. But are you living a righteous life here on earth? God wants us to try to live a righteous life. 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1:15 says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You say, well, I can never be holy. No, you're right. You can never be totally holy. But you can try to be as holy as you can be. We can try to live our life that is pleasing to God. God is not pleased when you sin. And don't get me wrong, he does not look at you as a sinner anymore, but he looks at you as a child of his child once you become his child. And he looks at you when you sin and said, you know, just like you, if you have kids, you look at your kids when they're doing bad and you say, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? I didn't raise you that way. I thought I taught you better. And we punish our kids and we spank our kids. And we try to discipline them to get them going down that right path and get them back on track and be a good person. God looks at us as his children. Once we get saved, he doesn't look at us as lost people. Now we're his child. And when he looks at us and we're not doing what he wants us to do, how he's telling us to live our life, that's why he gave us the Bible. Because God doesn't come speak to us audibly. He speaks to us through his word and through church. And he tells you, you know what, you're doing wrong. You're going down the wrong road. Why are you doing those things? He's telling you, clean yourself up. Be ye holy. He wouldn't put that in there if he didn't want us to try to do it. He didn't put that in there so we can say, well, I'm just going to fail, so I'm not going to. No, he put it in there and says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Try to live a holy life. Try not to do wrong. Try not to go out and sin. Because let's be honest, when you sin, it's because you wanted to sin. You did things wrong because you wanted to, because you know right from wrong. You know the things that you should not do as a Christian. You know the things that you should not do, but you do them anyways. You say, I really don't care. My sins are forgiven. What is God going to do to me? I can't lose my salvation. So it really doesn't matter. But it does matter in God's eyes. Amen. It does matter the things that we do here on earth. And it matters because you could be a bad testimony for somebody that's watching your life. You can be a stumbling block, and the Bible says that we should not be a stumbling block to other Christians. When you know that you should not be, for example, drinking alcohol, This is one that people hate when you preach on. You should not, I don't care if you only have one beer. You say, well, the Bible says that we should be filled with the Spirit. We shouldn't be drunk. No, the Bible says stay away from all appearances of evil. When you're drinking and you might just have one beer, nobody knows how many beers you had. If you go into a bar, nobody knows what you're going into the bar. You say, well, I went into the bar to have a Coke. Why couldn't you get a Coke from the Dairy Mart? Why'd you have to go into the bar to have a Coke? Well, I wasn't drinking. I'm witnessing to people in there. But when somebody sees you going to that bar that might be a teenager, might be somebody from church that looks up to you and they see you going to the bar and they're like, what is he going in there for? He must be going in there to drink. So drinking must be okay. And drinking is not going to send you to hell. If you're saved and your sins are forgiven, the sins that you commit are not going to send you to hell. You can't lose your salvation. But your sin could send somebody else to hell. You say, well, how can my sin send somebody to hell? Because if they look at your life and you're doing things wrong, because believe me, the world knows as Christians what we're supposed to do. They know that we're not supposed to do those things that they do. But if they see us doing those things, it gives them the right to say, you know what? What do I need to be saved for? What do I need to go to church for? He's drinking. He's listening to rock and roll music. He's doing all those things that he should not do. He seems to be okay. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to listen to anybody that tells me anything about God. So we have to be careful. Are you living a righteous life? And I'm not saying that. When you talk about living a righteous life, people look at you and say, well, you just think you're just so righteous. No, I know I'm not. I've had this Bible for a long time. I have black duct tape all over this Bible. Preacher got me a new Bible when I got ordained. But I like carrying this Bible because this reminds me of who I used to be. It reminds me of the things that I used to do. That I don't want to go back and do those things again. I don't want to go back and be one of those people. I got out of that. God saved me from that, and he sanctified me, he set me apart, and he washed my sins away. Why would I want to go back and do that again? God said, you know what? Bob, you're over here. I set you apart. And I said, no, I want to go back over here and be part of this mess, be part of these sinners, and get filthy again. God says, yeah, but I set you over here. I cleaned you up. Why don't you want to stay clean? That's my question. Why don't we want to stay clean? Teenagers that have never, my kids have grown up, they've been hearing the Word of God since they were in the womb. And there's all kinds of teenagers that grow up in Christian homes that can't wait to run and get filthy. They can't wait to run into the world and get dirty. And they don't have to. You don't have to be that. You don't have to go that way. Now my next question is, all right, hold on. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. This is still talking about living a righteous life. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under sin. We give sin dominion over us. The Bible says that sin no longer has dominion over you. Once you're saved, once you're dead to yourself, you're freed from that sin. You're free from that bondage. But we put ourselves back in bondage. We put ourselves back into sin. But we don't have, according to God's word, we don't have to do that. We don't have to obey sin. That's what I said before. When we sin, it's because we want to. God gives us the ability not to. God gives us the ability to resist those things. God gave us His Spirit inside. That if we live in the Spirit and we try to live a spiritual life, we can get out of sin and we can not sin. Are you doing that? Are you yielding yourselves, members, to righteousness instead of unrighteousness? In Preacher's Romans class, the things that I learned in that class astounded me when I first learned them. Just like that, I no longer have to be a servant to sin. I can resist sin. But do I? Do you resist sinning? Or do you just go ahead and do it anyways? And if you keep reading, verse 19 says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Before you were saved, when you were a sinner, your fruit was fruit unto death, because the wages of sin is death. But now you can yield yourself into holiness, and your fruit is unto holiness. So my next question to you is, what fruit are you producing? Are you producing fruit that you're going to be ashamed of, like that verse says? The fruit that I produced when I was in that sin, I am ashamed of those sins. I'm ashamed of that life that I led. And I don't get up here and tell you I led that life to brag and say, well, look at me, look how good I am now. It's only by God's grace I ended up where I'm at today. If you ask the people that I used to hang around with if I would be preaching God's word, they'd say, no way. They had a hard time believing that I would even stop doing the things that I was doing. But now, through God's grace, I get to stand up here and preach His word. But not because of anything that I've done, because of Him. I'm ashamed of the life that I used to lead. And the more that, the sad thing is, we have to think about the life that we used to lead the longer we're Christians, because we forget the things that we used to do. We forget how wicked we really were and all the bad things that we really did, unless we sit down and really, and sometimes I got to really think about, you know what? I told my wife this many times. If I was a teenager, when I was doing those things, and I was a youth leader, I wouldn't want me in that class. I wouldn't want people hanging around me, because I was one of those kids, and I would say, stay away from him. He's a bad influence. He's not someone you want to hang around with. I have to remember that, because I've been out of that life for a while. And sometimes as older Christians, we forget how bad we really were. And we get comfortable in saying, well, I'm okay. I'm righteous, and I go to church all the time, and I'm good now. But remember where you came from, because you can go back. Remember who you were. The Bible says we're supposed to forget those and leave those things behind, but I think we need to remember where we came from and where we're going because of Christ. And don't get me wrong, everybody, there's none righteous, no, not one. Everybody is born unrighteous. And you can't get to heaven until you become righteous. And you can't become righteous unless it's through the blood of Christ. So we're all in that group of unrighteous people not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you've never accepted Christ, you have to realize you're going to die one day and you are still going to go to hell. But because of Christ, He cleaned you up and He made you righteous. Now you get to go to heaven. But when we're living down here on earth, what are we doing down here? What fruit are you going to produce? Are you telling people about Christ? I'm guilty of this. I don't tell enough people about Christ. Because we should look at people and realize they're a living soul. And one day they're going to die. And they're going to spend eternity somewhere, either in heaven or in hell. And if we would really realize what hell is really real, because sometimes I think we don't want to think about it being real, because then we really feel bad because we don't witness to enough people. But are we telling people about Christ? Are we inviting people to church? How many people have you invited to church this past year? if you really think about it, you're going to be ashamed. You're going to be ashamed of the fruit you produce because you didn't really produce any. Are we living our life to show people the difference that Christ made in your life? Christ made a huge difference in my life, first of all, because he saved me. But then when I started coming to church and he cleaned me up, my life totally changed. My life became totally different. People always think sin is such fun and sin is so great, but it's not. Living a clean life and living a life that is, you're trying to be pleasing the Lord and doing the things of God gives you a peace inside. That's the life that you want to show people that you're living. That you have happiness in Christ. That you have joy in Christ. And as Christians, we fail to do that. And people look, and we want to get people saved, and that's great. And that's the important thing. But we also need to get them in church to get them cleaned up and help them live a better life down here. Yes. They're going to live a great life when they get to heaven. But if preacher would have got saved and never stopped drinking and kept going to the bars and never came to church, yeah, when he got to heaven, he would have a great life. But what would have his life been down here on this earth? It would have still been miserable. He would have still been an alcoholic. He would have still been going to the bars, and as he said many times, he would probably be dead. So it's important to get people saved, but it's also important to get them in church and to show them that a life in Christ is a good life. A life obeying the Bible and coming to church has happiness to it. It's not doom and gloom like everybody wants, especially as sometimes we Christians we project that to people that going to church is such a drag. Living a Christian life is just no fun. And we do that as Christians. Instead of being excited and saying, you know, my life is so much better because of going to church and because of what Christ has done for me. Are we showing people that? What fruit are you producing? Because you're going to produce fruit one way or another. Is it going to be fruit that you're ashamed of? Are you a Christian coming to church and still doing those things, still being one of those, still living in filth? And you're going to be ashamed of the fruit that you produced? Or are you going to be proud of what you produce, proud of the fruit that you have, that you've invited people to church, that you've lived your life to the best of your ability, and you're trying to show people that you're living a good life, and that living with the life Christ wants you to live is great, and you're inviting people to church. That fruit is what fruit you're going to be proud of. You're going to produce it either way, but are you proud of it? So my question to you is, what are you? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you again for the opportunity to preach your word, Lord. I just pray that I said everything that you wanted me to say, Lord, and I did what you wanted me to do. Lord, now the rest is up to you to speak to the hearts of the people, Lord, and it's up to them to receive your word and do what your word tells them to do. Lord, I pray that you'll be with us the rest of this day, Lord. I pray that you'll be with Pastor Myers as he preaches in the morning service. Lord, I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.